Hello, welcome to the Millionaire Woman Show, where we'll be discussing leadership, business, and human potential, inspiring you to live rich from the inside out. Unlock your creativity, stretch out of your comfort zone, break through your barriers, take inspired action, and achieve epic results. Now, here's your host, two-time best-selling author, speaker, and certified executive coach, Deborah Kosowski.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Millionaire Woman Show, where we talk about leadership, business, and human potential. And today's topic is about company culture. My special guest, Ken McAuliffe, he felt that he never really fit in anywhere. And you might think that's a bad thing, but it actually isn't. Not finding my niche with other people allowed me to live, to think, and dream outside the box, to imagine that I could be whatever I wanted because my box had no walls. So now he's an entrepreneur pursuing ways to make the world a better place while making a living, and it's freedom that started in his heart when he was a kid. And he's also front man for a band called Revolution Engine, a band whose focus is social justice and being a voice to the voiceless. Again, it's freedom that started in his heart as a kid. Best of all, he's a husband, dad, and he focuses on love, grace, gratitude, selflessness, and teaching his family that there is no box. Welcome to the show, Ken.
Hello.
Ken and I actually met at a networking event, and it was called Green Futures, and it's probably not a networking event that I normally would have gone to. But I thought I always like to step out of what people consider that box. And I'm very grateful that I did. Otherwise, I wouldn't have met you and met some of the really cool people that I've been introduced to. And it really made me shift and think about all the different things that I don't know about what's going on in the world. And it was really cool to learn about those things. But what really interested me in learning about Think Mechanical is about your corporate culture, because just recently I was in an event and I got to meet some of the people that work as part of your company, and they totally feel like family. Mm-hmm. And that's what intrigued me about your story. So I really want you to just tell us a little bit more about yourself and that box and what inspired you from a kid first to where you are today.
Well, a little bit about me. I grew up a country bumpkin, you can say. My first career was what they call a milkmaid. I worked on a dairy farm milking cows. I did that for several years until I moved to the city. I don't know what to say. Like, I started working in another company, and I worked there for 10 years, and I got very tired of feeling like just a number. And I realized I started my journey of trying to figure out what I understand now as my meaning in life. And so I tried to inject that into my company and defining what that means. So defining success to me and defining what meaning is and freedom is.
Mm-hmm. So not everybody knows this about me, but I grew up on a farm. Mm-hmm. I'm a farm girl. I used to get up early and carry those 5-gallon pails of chop and feed the pigs and the chickens and even shovel some manure. But I think it's some of those lessons that really make us stronger. And there's a lot of things that came out of those experiences that bring me to where I am today. So I know that some of that has obviously brought you to where you are and learning what you're doing. So I want to know, what does culture mean to you? What is culture to you? And what does it mean to you when you think of your company, Think Mechanical?
Culture is, it's hard to put into a simple term, I think, because it's kind of an elusive thing. It is how the people within the company both act and feel. And I often think that company culture is more important than what the company itself does. to me, the future of business, it's going to be vastly different than what we experience now. Right now, what we experience is a very industrial revolution, systemized form of completing work. So it's a transactional base. So we hire somebody, we tell them what to do, and we pay them for it. Where I think in the future, as technology advances and as human understanding of the world changes, we'll be able to move into, and what I'm trying to do is moving into companies that are operating more on finding freedom and finding meaning and aligning people with what they really desire to do with their lives, rather than finding somebody to pay them to do a job. It's more, less like work and more like living out your dreams.
So really moving away from that transactional experience, thinking about this is what we do, this is my role, versus to being part of the legacy and the ripple to everything around them. Mm-hmm. So if you were to describe your company's culture in three words, what would you say?
I would like to say servant leadership. And I only use two words. I'm saying that hopefully, because culture is something that is built on values, the values of the company, and that's something that we've been very forward about, like figuring those out. We've been in business for 11 years, and I think it took us 8 years to figure out what our values are, and we're still evolving, I think.
So what are those values?
So the first one is humility. And that's where servant leadership kind of comes from. Our first value is humility. And I'm not saying that I'm the most humble person. Humility is something that I highly value. And it is how we treat each other within the company. So that does set the culture. So if you're to say, this is my job, that's your job, and those are our limits, our boundaries, you kind of take away the ability for people to serve each other, to say, you know what, the culture of this company is built on these values. And first value is humility. So let's serve each other. So really that's where servant leadership comes from, is to say, no job is your job, and no job is not your job. We're here, we're a group of people that are trying to serve each other. So our first value is humility. Okay. Second is excellence. Excellence is how we serve our clients and the people that we work with, everybody else, right? All of our subcontractors and partners in business, is to say we're going to do as excellent as possible. And that means very specifically that we're not seeking perfection. We're seeking to do it as excellent as we can without having to grind and to be perfect, because perfection to me, perfection is the then the third value is tribe, and that is recognizing that we're not a company, we are a group of people working together to complete a task, and that task is life, is doing what we do. And the last one is social justice, and that's how we serve those who have less than us. So if you don't have a heart for people who have less than you, and you probably won't figure. We care a lot about and do our best to serve things that have nothing to do with the company, that don't benefit the company in any way, but they benefit the community around us. So being involved with different charities and different things that raise money for people who have less, that's the difference.
So how has social justice built the tribe that you have right now?
We have to look at everybody that's in the company and say, well, what things do you care about? So one of our employees, Sasha, her family, MS is something that is part of her family. So she asked him, could we be involved in the MS tour? And I don't typically ride a road bike, but I will ride 190 kilometers on a weekend to support her. and to be involved with them. And it's not just about raising money. It's about, you know, being a part of her. That's what she cares about. And so then I also care, then other people that I can really care about and want to be involved with it. Me and my wife, our family, we care about kids in other countries that don't. We've actually gone as far as going to visit them. And that, I mean, that does affect culture because as your understanding changes, your cultural beliefs also change. Yeah, there's lots of things. We've done a hip hop challenge to raise money for kids so they can get involved in arts. So we've, a few years, we've actually had a hip hop crew of all the people in the company and dance together. And I mean, you want to talk about building cultures, being vulnerable that way. I'm not an excellent dancer in any way, but I'll get up in front of people. My team to raise money and awareness, definitely.
What I find really cool about your approach is that you've tapped into your people to find out what's important to them, and you've made it important to you as well. To hear about you going to ride just because it's important to someone and part of your circle. Mm-hmm. I've also known that you helped support, I think, a skateboard park too.
Yeah, so that was done through our band, and my band Revolution Engine is also very social justice based. Actually, our tagline is social justice wrapped in new metal, which is the style, basically. And yeah, we went and raised money, we performed a show, and sold our merch, and gave half of the money to the.
So how has this social justice, because you know, some people can say that, well, I can write a check. How has getting directly involved impacted you and your tribe?
Yeah, and it is easy to write a check, for sure. And it's important, that money is important to help those associations. But for me, it all has to roll into living life and what we're doing. And for me, to live a good life is not to make a ton of money. It is to have a meaningful life. And that means pouring myself out. So if that means writing your life or dancing or, you know what I mean? Because really, when we say, where do we find meaning in life? And I find meaning in love in people, in relationship. So, yeah.
That's very powerful. So what is your vision at Think Mechanical for people to do their best work?
My vision is now, I say this is somewhat conceptual because we're not there yet, I'd say, but it's finding the right people to do the things that they find meaningful for them, rather than posting a job and saying, we're looking for somebody, we're going to pay them X amount of dollars. Finding people and saying, okay, this is what you like to do, this is what we need done. Do this, and then if you're passionate about this, then we'll make that your job. We had an experience a couple of years ago where I said basically, Think Mechanical is a sandbox, and we're all playing in the sandbox. And if you feel like you want to play in a different part of the sandbox, let's work together to figure that out. And I find that way I don't have to manage people, rather empower them. It doesn't work 100% perfectly. I would say that it's like this magical bullet that solves all of our problems, but allowing people to do what they want to do, what they're passionate about, definitely gives them meaning, and it works in conjunction with the company where we're like, okay, well, we need this done. We need it.
So,
mm-hmm. Right.
So you're a natural people builder by seeing what they really want to do and what they want to step into. How do you ensure your company's core values are infused into everything that you do?
I don't know if I do. I think the culture is set a lot by the leader of the company. And so, and I think that the character of the company is probably the most important part of that and trying to live that out. So living that out openly and vulnerably and being honest about, you know, where I am as a leader and as a person, I think allows that to infiltrate into people's lives. I talk a lot about when I'm talking to other people about leadership, I talk the difference between manipulation and transformation. Manipulation is management and, you know, making people do what you want them to do. The transformation is inspiring them to do what they want to do. There's a big difference there. So it's a matter, it's being as connected as you can with everybody, and being, and to do that, it requires you to be vulnerable.
So one of the golden threads that I'm hearing throughout this interview is the piece about vulnerability. And I know with vulnerability, there also takes a lot of courage. So where do you get your courage from?
I don't know. I don't know if I'm courageous or not. And I you know, like, vulnerability is something that I think we all wrestle with. And I definitely do as well. I'm not the most vulnerable person all of the time. But if I were to say where I get my courage, is in my identity, when my identity is rooted in where I think it should be, which is in Christ, then I know that my value doesn't change based on people's opinion, and it will never change. Mm-hmm. So when I'm connected to that root, that source of truth, is when I can be most vulnerable and courageous.
Yeah. I think a lot of, you know, people who are wanting to step into leadership, thinking about the vulnerability and courage, for some, that courage is hard for them because they don't have that foundation of a basis where they don't have to rely on other people's opinions. And I also find that people get into the trap of, you know, people pleasing versus pleasing what they know that they need to do. There's a big difference between knowing to do something and just doing what you know you're called to do. So what does influence mean to you?
Well, one of my goals is to be an influencer. An influence really is, if I think about my mentors and the ones that have impacted me the most, they are the ones who don't do it actively. They do it by being the most inspiring. So once the people who have affected me the most, you will never assume. I have a guy who does, I have a bad back, he was a wolfer, so he works with a type of massage, and he was very vulnerable with me and open about his life over the course of my treatment with him. And since then, we've met a few times just for coffee, just because I don't need to get my back pain anymore. And the size of his heart, the openness and just the ability for him to be vulnerable with me has impacted me more than going to sit and listen to somebody give a dissertation on, you know, like a TEDx talk. Mm-hmm. It's the things that are really impactful that have influenced me are the people who are probably the most true to their and open about it.
Yeah. See, and it's very powerful because I was having a conversation with someone earlier that we often, you know, or I'm going to use I as an example, look at some of the greatest lessons or the celebrities we want to meet, yet amongst our people that we associate with all the time, we can learn our greatest lessons instead of always thinking, well, wait until I meet this person, or wait until I can hire that person. To really be able to connect with them, but not realizing that those same people can have a huge impact in your life right here, right now. Mm-hmm. So what's your definition of leadership?
To serve. Real leaders know how to serve. and it's very countercultural. It's very, it doesn't make sense. But to me, servant leadership is serving, is leading from below or beside. And that is, and again, I'm not saying I'm perfect at it or I'm against that. It's something that I aspire to, is to lead people by transforming them, by inspiring them, by being the best that I can be, by being the most vulnerable that I can be. To me, that's a leader. A leader is somebody who doesn't need people to follow them, but rather creates other leaders. Mm-hmm. To me, that's a leader.
So what you're demonstrating truly is that you're leading by example. And either pushing them from behind or lifting them up to make sure that they step into that potential that they're meant to be in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So what have you learned about mentorship?
What have I learned about mentorship? To mentor somebody or to be mentored requires, again, humility and vulnerability. Those two tenets in my life are the pillars that I try to stand in. To really mentor somebody, you have to be open. You have to be transparent. I could go to somebody and say, you know, this is how you do it. This is the way. But it's more powerful to say, this is my story. This is where I've been. And to share that. Because ultimately, I mean, none of us really know what we're doing. There's no guidebook to life.
Yeah.
Right? So, and there's no, to me, I think there's a million right ways and there's no right way. And I can tell you, like, this is what you should do. What is it? Do I know what's best for you? I can only share what I've done and my story and empower other people to learn through what I've gone through. I think that's more powerful and important and brings more meaning than just telling people how it is.
Yeah. There's so much power in storytelling, especially when it comes to business and people like, you know, businesses like the black suit, the, you know, the white shirts, very corporate culture, if you think about it traditionally. But I have been seeing a huge shift in how people see the power of story. And when people share their story, there's that relatability and how I want to, I can see myself in your story as you share it and also see where I can learn lessons about doing something differently that I haven't done before. So in what ways do you recognize and reward your employees?
I think this is an area I need to improve in. We try to recognize by having a hero of the month kind of thing and everybody votes on it. Get a reward, like a gift card. I'd say this is something I need to improve upon. I can recognize people's strengths quite easily, I think, and their passions. But as a business owner, you get so loaded down with the day-to-day, everything that's happening, all of the hoops you've got to jump through and all of the resistance that you come up against. It's hard to keep that in the forefront of your mind when people need that recognition. So I do try to do my best to be as encouraging as possible.
Yeah.
And to allow that to because I value people more than I value money, and that shows in my pocketbook. it is something that you have to be active.
Yeah. So I love how you said the hero of the month, not employee of the month. Mm-hmm. What does it take to be a hero?
Well, our first value is that humility, and usually the hero is somebody who has stepped into someone else. That's us to define we like to recognize people who are able to have a certain leadership value.
Very cool. Because I think everyone has that hero. They have that special capability that they don't necessarily recognize because they do it so naturally as part of who they are, that they don't realize that that's what makes them a hero in everyday life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So what criteria do you use to determine if somebody culturally will fit your tribe?
Well, being in business for 11 years, I don't know if there's any way to really do that. Because we've hired people that, and we ask them in our onboarding process what their values are. And we have certain questions that we try to derive if they're going to fit our values. And it's really hard to, it's really hard to get that, honestly. Because we've hired people that they gave all their answers and then they fit. Usually what happens is when we hire somebody who doesn't fit, they last maybe, well, they used to last quite a long time because I know I can never go. But now it's about a month to 3 months. If they come in and they've got their hand out and they're expecting everybody to, you know, that they're there as a transactional base and they go there for a paycheck and not to be involved with the company, the other people within the company, the group. They usually don't last. Yeah, the rest of the people in the company are—they just—it's like having a virus. Yeah. It's a poor way to say it, but it's just—it doesn't fit. So I'm usually told like this person is not fitting.
If I was to ask one of your employees to describe your company's culture and why they work for you, what do you think that they would say?
One of them saying with the Andy working. What would you say?
Good question.
If I was to ask you to describe our company culture and why they work for why you work for me, what would you say?
I need the freedom to be myself, to take things that I enjoy and passionate about and learn how to apply them to something greater than myself. Take something like our renewable energy. It's not just renewable energy, but it's a way that we can help people realize that they don't have to be stuck with corporate companies or freedom of life, maybe things that might be nerdy or geeky to me, but able to apply it to something to help my brother out scaling his business. And then on top of that, it allows me dreams that I'm working in the kitchen or I can work at home. You know, I'm not stuck to a standard business model. So it just makes it feel more like a family.
There you go. So we hired Brian to do sales because that's the role that we needed. But I really hired Brian because I know his heart. I saw it. I know that whatever he's going to do in life, he's going to be passionate about what he's doing.
Yeah.
And so we hired him to do sales, but he doesn't do sales. He didn't like it. It didn't work.
Yeah.
So now he does marketing and he does actually a lot of coding because we're building our own app to manage the guys in the field and to connect product boards and property managers together so that there's not any ambiguity around communication and work being done.
Mm-hmm.
So an unknown talent that he had was coding, and I had no clue. It was amazing and actually much smarter than I am. And so being able to just say, okay, sales is not do this, and it'll benefit us this way.
Yeah. See, and whereas other, you know, leaders, I can see them saying, well, you're not the right fit. But what I really heard is that you have a lot of heart and soul in business, and you provide that freedom for people to grow into who they need to be. and not restrict them on what you need them to do for you versus tapping into learning what they can do for you. And you've uncovered this secret gift of coding to really shift and provide you with treasure as well.
Well, yeah, I mean, it ultimately has to work, right? Like if Brian's passion was knitting, it might not be a fit. We don't sell blankets. But his passion is coding. Literally, he loved it. And he's amazing.
Yeah.
So, yes, we have a role for that. And it, as long as we can make it work. And it's a bit of like, okay, can you help us with this? It's not something that you love. But as a company, we have to do certain things, right?
So. Mm-hmm. It's like taking out the trash. Not everybody likes to do it, but it has to get done anyway.
It has to get done, right? Yeah, and it's finding that balance and making it work. Because ultimately, if you hire people where you have to manage them, and you know, because it's transactional based culture, then really, what's the point of what you're doing? You know what I mean? Like, are you here just to make money? And that's something I struggle with. Like, I know a lot of entrepreneurs and they're successful monetarily because their values are to make money. So I'd say I suffer financially because of my values, but I feel like I'm living a life that has a lot of meaning as well.
I think there's a tipping point that comes. Because my personal belief is when you invest in people first, that's when the money follows, because it's about people. And the whole, like I was talking about the golden thread, one of the biggest things for me when I think of our interview today is helping people who are listening, who are watching this video, that if you're running a business or an organization or even in your own life, start moving away from transaction to transformation. I bet you never thought that was coming out of this. That's what has really rang through for me about all the conversation that we've had so far, is that it's really moving away from that transaction to really helping people transform. And it's with intentional actions, but it's not like I'm going to transform you. It's a natural progression as you start seeing their strengths and giving them the freedom to be who they are and how they share in your vision. And I think that is so powerful.
Yeah, I hope so.
You know, so I know it. So, final question for you, Ken. How do you define success?
Easiest question of the day. Success to me is pouring my life out, all of the things that are me, that make up this person, pouring those out into the world around me, you know, pouring out my love for people, pouring out my gifts and my talents and my skills into the world around me, and I can people around me, that's success. And you can never love people too much. That's when we all have the point. That's success. It's just, you just can't love people enough. Like, it's an impossible thing.
That's an awesome base of your culture. Mm-hmm. So my final thing for you is, how can people stay in touch with you or learn about Think Mechanical and what you do?
ThinkMechanical.com. We also are on Facebook, Think Mechanical, Facebook and Instagram. Yeah, that's it. Communicate to me.
So I know that there's a big thing going on in the next couple months. Do you want to share that with us before I let you go?
Our sun pump?
Yes.
Yes. So we are on the cutting edge of green energy technology in Alberta. And we've installed the first solar geothermal system. There is a geothermal heat pump connected to solar thermal panels in a unique way. And it's the first installation in Alberta. It'll be on the Eco Solar Tour on June 4th.
Thank you for coming on our show today, the Millionaire Woman Show. We're talking about principles of leadership, business, and human potential, what it takes to be a servant leader, how to move from transaction to transformation. I want to thank you so much for being a guest on the show. And any of you who are listening, if you took a nugget away that really has shifted you into becoming a more servant leader, leading with humility, building your tribe, or just how you give people the freedom to grow and step into the potential that they're meant to be in, you can email me. I can pass on the messages to Ken, or go to thinkmechanical.com. I'm sure there's a contact us section there where you can give them a few words of how this podcast has impacted you. You can also go over to my website at www.deborahkozowski.com to learn more about coaching, leadership articles. There's lots of information there for you, and listen to the other podcasts to help you live your life rich from the inside out. As Mahatma Gandhi said, be the change you wish to be in the world. And my final message is always making today great. Thanks for joining, everyone.